In your Bible, please, in the book of Ephesians, the Lord has burdened my heart, and I've shared with you two messages already. As I shared with you earlier, I wanted to deal with the matter of a Christian. What is a Christian? Now, to be sure, all of these things will be amplified on through the rest of the year, but the three primary messages, I want to deal with the birth of a Christian. To help you understand that a Christian is not somebody who joins a church, it's not somebody who gets baptized, but it's someone who has been born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is, you become something you were not. It is a supernatural act whereby God births us into his own kingdom, gives us everlasting life. And then I want to talk a little bit about the belief of a Christian. Some people say, well, I believe a Christian ought to do this, and a Christian ought to do that, and so on. I believe this. Well, what's the Bible say? The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the emphasis of the belief of a Christian is that they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's more than just a head. It is with your whole being. It's a work of grace in your heart that does that. And that faith, I believe God spoke to our heart and showed us last week, that's not a hope so, think so, met with a big question mark, believe. It is a no-so salvation. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that. It's a transformation of that question mark into an exclamation part. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that I'm redeemed. I know that heaven's my home. I know that I'm saved. And thank God for that. Have you ever had that kind of faith? Do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? That is the faith of a believer. That is the belief of a Christian, is that they know that they've been born again by the grace of God. This morning, in general terms, I want to share with you about the behavior of a Christian. Some people say, well, I don't think a Christian ought to do this. A Christian ought not to smoke, and a Christian ought not to do those things. Well, there's some guidelines in the Bible, and there's some principles in the Bible, but that's not what I'm talking about. All of those things are relative to what I'm going to share with you this morning from the Word of God, the behavior of a Christian. I want you to look, please, in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 2, and notice what it says in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle or our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He's talked about us before our birth. He's talked about us before our belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talked about us before the behavior that follows. Look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were yet dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the wonderful singing of the choir, for touching Brother Pete and Miss Pangea this morning. Our Father, Lord, thank you for the great congregational singing. And God, I want to thank you for those who were able to be here every Sunday in January. And God, I pray now that God, you bless as we worship you today. And as we go into the month of February, help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, you'd help us to be very faithful to you. I pray, God, that we will reach out into our communities and our families and bring others with us to the house of God. And God, I ask this morning for that anointing that'll make the difference. God, without you, we could do nothing. And, oh, God, I pray, God, that you'd bless today. God, breathe on me. I pray you'd forgive and purge everything and every thought that ought not to be there. And, God, I pray, God, you'd help me, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the behavior of a Christian, about how a Christian behaves. In this passage of Scripture, in the beginning, Paul is thanking the Lord that we who were dead in trespasses and sin are made alive. And he says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." That's the miraculous new birth. That's being born again by the grace of God. That is having by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That faith whereby you have turned from your sin and turned to the Savior, and you believe that he's your only hope of heaven, and you're assured of that fact, and you know that your Redeemer liveth, you know that you've been purged of your old sins, you know that heaven's your home, you know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and you know that you shall be like him. Now that's real, and that takes place in your life. For every person in the sound of my voice, who've been born again by the grace of God, those are real things in your life. You know that. You know that. You believe that. And it's become a reality in your life, not just with a question mark, but with an exclamation mark. You know that you've been born again by the grace of God. Now, what about before you were saved? In this passage of Scripture, it says this. I'm interested today about the behavior of a Christian. How does person act? I've been thinking about this thought, been running through my mind. I have over my life, and I've said it, and I've heard other people say it, you're not acting like a Christian. You ought to act like a Christian. You ought to act like a Christian. Well, there's something about that that just doesn't ring true to me. You ought to act like you're a Christian. I don't like that word act. Do you? I don't like acting like a Christian. Did you know what? A lost man can act like a Christian. Did you know that a lost woman could act like a Christian? If they were in a situation where they were daily taught to be kind, to do this, that, and the other, if you looked at them, you'd think they were a Christian. Matter of fact, the Lord gave a parable, and he talked about the wheat and the tares. And he said they grow together, and this particular tare is something that is not edible. It's something that indeed could be poisonous. And as they're growing, they look identical. And they come during the night and said, "Lord, during the night, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat." Here we in front of me this morning are wheat and tares. There's some that's genuine and some that's false. And he said, "Would you like for me to go and pull out all the tares?" He said, "No, let them grow together to harvest. And in the end time, it'll be distinguishable as to who's real and who's not." In other words, whatever you say, if you're acting like a Christian, but you're not a Christian, It'll come out in the final analysis at your death or at the rapture of the church. My dear friend, I wouldn't dare act like a Christian. I want to be obedient to Christ. I want to love him. But if you're just trying to act like a Christian, the passage I just read to you that said this, not by works of righteousness, or not this particular one, it says, not of works lest any man should boast. Another one says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but this one says that not by good works, not by the good deeds of man. He said, not of works lest any man should boast. Your Christian life is not an act. It's something that's real. It's something that's real. When a person is born again, and when a baby is born, they don't act like they're breathing. They're breathing. They don't act like their heart is beating. Their heart is beating. They don't act like they're seeing. They're seeing. And when you get saved by the grace of God, it is not something you do, but it's something you are. And my dear friend, the Christian behavior is not a discipline of action, but it is an inbred nature by being born again by the grace of God. My dear friend, the behavior of a Christian. What? In this passage of Scripture, the parallel. Look at it. He said, before a person was saved, you had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Watch verse 2. It talks about all of us who were lost. wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know why lost people act like they're lost people or live like they're lost people? Because they're lost. Do you know why sinners act like they're sinner? Because they're sinners. It's because of what's on the inside. They were by nature the children of wrath. That's why they walked according to the prince of this world. That's why they walked according to the course of this age. That's why they fulfilled the lust of the flesh and of the mind, because it was their very nature. They just did that. They did because of what they were, it affected what they did. And my dear friend, that's true of a lost person, but thank God it's also true of a Christian. My dear friend, when a Christian gets saved, they become partakers of a divine nature. Let me show you that. Turn over to the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, Peter explains that and gives us that detail. In chapter number 1 of the book of 2 Peter, look at verse number 2. In 2 Peter chapter number 2. And it said this, grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now watch. He says there was a point in time when God gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness, Christian behavior. When did he do that? When did he give you everything that pertains to life and to godliness? At your new birth. When you got born again by the grace of God, God put that inside of you. Well, you say, Brother Billy, it's so hard trying to be a Christian. Well, you know what? I love what old Avery Rogers used to say. He said, the Christian life is neither easy nor hard. It is impossible. And it's exactly right. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And it is a natural thing for a Christian to behave like a Christian. Personal reference. I was in a certain situation, a certain church in another city. And there's this fellow in the church when I went there, and he was quite prominent in the church. As a matter of fact, he more or less ran everything. And after a period of time, as I was there as pastor, it became evident that there were some problems between him and me and the Lord. His nature began to change. He began to be a very angry, bitter man. And in quite a few business meetings, he'd stand up and he was just belligerent. And he stood up one time in a business meeting and he said, I want you to know that I wasn't like this till you come here. You have made me like this since you've been here. I hadn't said a thing about it. That was just his voluntary testimony. And I don't know where it came from. I hope it came from the Lord. But I looked at that dear church member and I said, sir, I did not make you like you are. I revealed you like you are. And my dear friend, God has a way of revealing what we really, really are. And if you're a Christian, he has given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness at your birth. And it's not something you try hard at. It is something you yield to him in, and he lives in and through you. Without him, we can do nothing. But read on a little further. And he said, he'd given us everything that pertains to life and God through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory, whereby we are given, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, he said this, you have been given everything that pertains to life and godliness, and you have been given a new nature. And thank God it is in the nature of the believer, certain things that we call Christian behavior. Now understand this. In the Word of God, we are admonished to grow as newborn babes, desire the sincere miracle of the Word that you grow, might grow thereby. Paul said, I keep my body subject. We do have Christian responsibilities. There's Christian growth. There can be Christian failure. But my dear friend, those things are inside of you. God's put it on the inside of you. It's not something external to you. It is something that's already on the inside of you. My dear friend, it is what we would call a new nature. It's called the new man. God's put it inside of every believer. And it issues itself and it reveals itself in behavior. What kind of behavior does it issue in? Turn with me, please, to 1 John. In 1 John, in chapter number 2 and verse 3. In 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 3. I want to read this to you. Are you there? In 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Wow. He hath put in me everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given me a new nature. And hereby we know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Now you say, Brother B, you're talking about the Ten Commandments? I'm talking about inclusive of that, but far beyond that. There's something in the Bible, in the book of Galatians, called the law of Christ. But let me show you one particular verse in your Bible. Turn back to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. I'm talking about the behavior of a Christian. How does a Christian behave? Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. Master, they are talking to our Lord. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Hereby we know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Here's what he said. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I've heard people say this. Bless God, if a woman wears breeches to church, she ain't saved. I've heard that. I've heard things like, bless God, if a person's a Christian and they do this or that, they are not saved. Why? I'm going to tell you. The Lord said, here's what my commandment is, that you love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's what I want you to understand, that when you get saved by the grace of God, God puts that in your heart. He puts in you a love for the Lord with all of your heart. You love him. You thank God for it. Now, listen, the Word of God says the love of many can wax cold. Your love can be intensified. But at the time of your birth, that is and put in you as part of that new nature, a love for God with all of your heart. You love him. And you love your neighbor as yourself. I'll say more about that in a moment. But you're to love the Lord. And not only in what we would call the commandments that are written and revealed in the Word of God, but his divine will. That is, there is something inside of every believer that makes us want to do what he wants us to do. And if you're saved, there is something set inside of you that makes you want to obey him. Do I always obey him? No. Have I failed him? Yes. Have I always felt terrible when I do that? Do I always feel convicted when I do that? Yes. But there's something inside of every believer that wants to do the will of God, that wants to obey him, that does not want to disappoint him. And that is in every believer. Now, if you live your life as a Christian and you pop in on Sunday morning, you go the rest of the week, you never think about God's will for your life, you don't ever have the Holy Spirit of God to impress you to do something or say something or read something or praise him or do anything else, and if you ever look at the Word of God and there's things that he gives you specifics on, and you can do contrary to that and it not bother you, something's wrong. Because God puts something inside of us that causes us to want to obey him and to keep his commandments. And those who love him keep his commandments. They do that. We love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. God, in Christian behavior, it is a matter of obedience and loving Him. Let me show you in the book of Romans chapter 8 something. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 14. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it said this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, if you've been born again by the grace of God, He put a new nature in you. Back in the book of Ephesians, it said those who were lost, they behaved according to the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And there is a spirit of this world. And the reason people do what they do is because of the influence of that spirit in their life. Now, when you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart crying, "Abba, Father." And that Holy Spirit of God inside of you, my dear friend, that Spirit of God inside of you leads you. Are you conscious of the fact that there's something inside of you or somebody inside of you that leads you and directs you in ways that you used not want to go? Many of you, you could care less about the church. Brother Craig Allen's here this morning. Brother Craig's testified many a time that when we were in the old building over there, he'd ride by the church and he'd see all that crowd around there and he thought, "What in the world are they all doing going over there?" And then God began to deal with his heart. And then he got right with God and he got in the house of God and God began to lead him and he began to be faithful to the house of God. Faithful to God's command. God led him to learn to play musical instruments. God gifted him to do that. And he obeyed that. And God opened doors for him to sing. And he did that. And he's faithful to the house of God. God led him to serve as a deacon. And he did that. What I'm saying to you is this. Those who are Christians are led by the Spirit. Can you say beyond any shadow of a doubt, I do know there's something or somebody inside of me that lead me to do things that I do not normally do on my own? Do you know? Can you say that? That's not just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for missionaries. Every believer who's ever been saved by the grace of God are led by the Spirit of God. Is He inside of you? Are you aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God? Does He lead you into prayer? Does He prompt you and lead you to say things? Does He speak to your heart when you disobey Him? He said He'll guide you in all truth. Does He reveal the Word of God to you? How many of the Christians have that? Every one of them. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And many of you in this building and many in the sound of my voice have been church members and everything, and you could not honestly say there's ever been one time that I know that the Holy Spirit of God led me or spoke to me. But as many as led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That's what the Bible said. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Are you led by the Spirit? That's behavior. Now, I don't have to write out on a piece of paper what you ought to do and what you ought not to do in behavior as a Christian, because you got somebody with you every day. All you got to do is say, "Lord, you want me to drink this beer?" "Should I take this dope? Should I have an affair with this man or woman?" The Holy Spirit of God is in us. And He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice a little further back in your Bible, if you will, please. Go back to the book of 1 John again in chapter 4. I'm talking about the behavior of a Christian. Now back to what they asked our Lord. He said this. They said, "What's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. The second is like it to it. You to love your neighbor as yourself. On this hang all the law and prophets." Do you understand that if that becomes a reality in your life by the new birth, if God puts in your heart a love for Him, a desire to please Him, a desire to obey Him, everything else will work out. Do you understand that if the Holy Spirit of God has birthed in your heart that desire to love your neighbor as yourself, everything else work out? You can take anything you want to. It'll affect what you do. It'll affect where you go. It'll affect what you wear. It'll affect everything about you. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, it'll affect every bit of... Notice in 1 John again, in chapter 4, and in verse number 7. "Beloved, let us not love one another, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Isn't that something? How many, now you don't have to be a Greek scholar, let me read it again, listen very carefully. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. How many? One. Every person who's born again by the grace of God has a desire to obey Him. Every person who's born of God loves Him. Everybody who's born of God loves the brethren. God put that love in our heart, shed it abroad by the Holy Spirit of God. You didn't have to work it up. You didn't have to pray it down. It came with the package. It's part of the deal. He put it inside of you. You don't have to try hard to love people. It's in there. It's in there. God put it in our heart to love people. You love people. Do you love especially the saints of God? Look over in 1 John again in chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If you get genuinely saved, you're going to love other Christians. You don't have to try to love them. You don't have to know all their background. You don't have to know whether they're a good Christian or a bad Christian. You don't have to know all their particular beliefs or convictions. If you're a Christian, there's a natural affinity in your heart for other believers. You love them. You love them. He said, you know that you passed from death because you love the brethren. Can I ask you a question? You made a profession of faith, joined church, you got baptized. Is there in you something that causes you to love the Lord with all of your heart? Is there something inside of you that wants you, you just want to obey Him in everything and you keep His commandments? Is there in your life a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that leads you? If you're born again by the grace of God, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Is the Holy Spirit of God inside leading you? Do you love the brethren? Do you love the brethren? As we grow in the Lord, our love can grow. Our faith can grow. Our surrender can grow. But there is by nature that inside of you. I hate to make reference every service to our grandbaby boys. But if you'll indulge me one more time, and we've got a grandbaby boy here that's a lot bigger than I am. But I'm talking about the little ones now and Clay. The two boys that live at Carolina Beach are completely different in their appearance. They have different natures. But the younger one, which is like 2 seconds younger, I guess you'd say, his name is Hunter. Now, the older one is Towns. Towns hates to go to sleep. He wants to stay awake. He loves the outdoors. And he'll kick when you're trying to get him to go to sleep. He'll kick his feet. If he gets drowsy, he'll start by kicking his feet. He fights like everything. But now, Hunter is what my wife calls a snuggler. I mean, it is in his nature to snuggle. He loves for you to hold him and kiss him, and he loves to snuggle. And when he gets ready to go, he loves to just snuggle. It is his nature. He did not learn to do that. His mama didn't teach him to do that. His daddy didn't teach him to do that. Granny might have helped, but not long. But it is his nature to be a snuggler. And when you get saved by the grace of God, it is your nature to love Him and to love people and to love especially the brethren. Is it in you? Are you a Christian? Not are you trying to be a Christian. Not are you working hard to be a Christian. not are you doing the best you can, but if something happened to you that caused you to want to love him, and that you do love him, and that you want to obey him, and that you're led by the Spirit, and that you love the brethren, is it there? Can't make it up. Can't act like it's there. It's just there. It's just there. I tell you, I got so excited one day when it dawned on me, I did not try to believe in the Lord. I don't know where it came from. Actually, I do know where it came from. But I just believe it. You say, Brother Billy, can you prove the Bible? No, I can't prove the Bible. Can you prove there's a God? No, I can't prove there's a God. Do you believe the Bible 100%? Do you believe there's a God 100%? And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you can just go to hell then. I don't care. I did not try to believe on the Lord. And it dawned on me one day what happened to me. Listen to it's in the Bible. He writes all this stuff in the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith. Next part. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Praise God. I didn't try to believe. I just believed. Because of his work of grace in me. Do you know him? I'm talking about do you know. Listen. This is so important. The clock's ticking. You don't have time to act like a Christian. You don't have time to try to be a Christian. You must be born again. Will you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost right now will do what I cannot do. You're not willing that any should perish. And our Father, you're no respect of persons. And what you've done for me, you'll do for every person in this building. I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God would deal with hearts, convict them of sin, righteous judgment. I pray, our Father, they'd understand the real meaning of being born again by the grace of God, that it is not our effort, but is your marvelous grace. And our Father, they'd come and do the one thing in the Word of God that says we must do, come to the end of ourself and fall helplessly before you and ask you by your marvelous grace to save us. You said you love the world so much you gave your only begotten Son that whoso believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God, I pray right now that God, that some boy, some girl, some man, some woman would come and know that they can't live the life. They can't act like a Christian. But God, they know that you could be to them a Savior, and Lord, you could give to them a divine nature. You could give to them everything that pertains to life and godliness and a brand new nature. God, I pray you do that. I pray, God, right now there'd be some who'd raise the white flag of surrender and bow to you. Lord, they could stand and arise in a few moments and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. God, do that for somebody. God, make it real to them. I pray, God, they'd be born again by the grace of God and become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And we'll thank you. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, will you stand? God, the Holy Ghost, lead Brother Brad to do whatever he feels led to do in the invitation. My dear friend, I can only say this to you, that not one person ever came to Jesus legitimately wanting him to do something for them that he did not do it. He'll save you if you'll come to him. If you'll come to him, so God, I can't save myself, but save me right now. I come to you just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Will you come to him right now? Will you believe on him this morning? Let him do something you've never been done in your life before? Will you let him make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus? Will you do that right now? Heavenly Father, again, I pray, sweet Holy Ghost of God, that you draw by your grace and that some would come. While Brother Brad sings, will you come? I'll meet you here at the front. Some who are Christians, you ought to come just thank God for grace. Thank God that you believe him just because you believe him. That you can't put your finger on why you believe him, but you believe him. You believed and you were saved. Thank God for that. You don't try to believe it. You don't have a hard time believing it. You just believe it. That's a work of grace in your heart and life. I'm tickled to death about it myself. I can't get over it that he did that in my heart. Will you come right now? Come on. If you're not saved, if we can help you, we'll help you. If you want to be saved this morning, I promise you, he'll save you. Authority of God's word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You slip out and come on right now.